Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. For the remainder of our time, we want to look at 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord here today? The presence of the Lord here. Amen. We're going to be reading now the first 11 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1. I want you just to, on the screen here is the New King James Version, but you can read along with me. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons who on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. I want to share with you in these remarks today, in this message, deliverance in distress. Deliverance in distress. In the book of 1 Corinthians, before this one, there we have a lot of instructions given to this young church, this first century church, instructions given to them. There was, we read a lot of correction given to the church in 1 Corinthians. We turn to the pages of this second letter, which is probably even a fourth letter, some believe. It's just we only have recorded for us two letters, but there's some indications when we read these two letters that there were some other letters that the Holy Spirit, no doubt, did not see that we needed in the canon of Scripture. But what we find in 2 Corinthians is we find a man, Paul. This is really an autobiography in so many ways of his life, and how God matures a man. And by the Holy Spirit, He desires to mature us. And we see a man who was disciplined which brings about maturity. And we don't always like that aspect of things, but God said in His Word, He chastens those He loves. And He tells us some things here, even in these first 11 verses that I want us to look at today as we consider deliverance in distress. I want you to just note in these opening words here in 2 Corinthians, we do see how that he's coming, and His opening words speak of Jesus Christ. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's not coming on behalf of an organization. He's coming on behalf of Jesus Christ. He's coming with a message from Jesus. He has met the man. God has, Jesus has spoken to his heart, and he's coming to the church of Corinth, and he is talking to them about things that he is well acquainted with. Not those things necessarily he read, but those things in which he has experienced and has, and that they were consistent with the scriptures in every way, but yet he comes delivering a message from Jesus Christ and about him and his relationship with him. He does this again and again in his letters, but he talks about as he comes to the church, he says he comes with grace and peace. He comes with love and peace. Verse 2, I believe. And that's how Christians are to come. We are to come forth in our life and into other people's lives to make a difference in this world, but we come with grace and peace. Sometimes there's those that name the name of Christ who claim to be Christian, and they come and it don't seem very gracious and might not deliver a message of peace. But I want to tell you, the way of the Christian is grace and peace. It's truth. Truth is not always comfortable, so we're not talking about that. We're not talking about downplaying our message so that people will feel good about it and about themselves, or maybe even comfortable in the sinful state. No, it's exactly the opposite of that. But yet we come with the love of God, the peace of God, the grace of God. And so there is love, and that's why Jesus, wherever he went, he came. He was love. He came in love, and it broke down barrier after barrier. But nevertheless, the truth somewhat caused some people not to walk away, and they didn't desire that. When we look at his life, there was many who did not stay and continue to follow him because of truth, but it wasn't because he lacked love. It wasn't because he lacked mercy. It was because it had to do with the truth that people were not willing to surrender to. And so we see those words, grace and peace. Would you say them with me? Grace and peace. May they mark our life. May grace and peace be that is extended from our lives. And then we see in these first 11 verses, we see the word affliction. And Paul's talking about affliction. And he talks about the affliction that he's experienced, but he's also indicating that the others in Corinth have experienced it. And through the Holy Spirit, this scriptures that are for us today speak of affliction that we experience. It may not be exactly the things that happened to him, but certainly we don't have the exact things that happened. But this word affliction speaks to distresses. It speaks to tribulation. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Tribulation, distress, affliction is a reality of living in this world. And you got to remember who he's talking to. He's talking to Christians. And so Christians go through times. He did. He set the example. He went through affliction as a Christian, as an apostle of Christ. He went through affliction, tribulation, distress. He experienced it. And then we see the word comfort, consolation in the New King James Version. It's comfort. So we have grace and peace, but then he talks about the affliction that comes our way, the distress, the things that try to seemingly pound us in the ground. One person said on an occasion that concerning the sufferings, and they said, why is it so hard? And that's the reality. It is. Many things in life are difficult. Many things in life are hard. And following Jesus does not make us immune to hard. It doesn't make us immune to suffering. It doesn't make us immune to distresses and difficulties. So sometimes we'll hear a modern day preacher who might indicate to you that somehow you're living in the favor of God and you're never going to experience anything. It's just not in the scripture. That's the problem with that. That's not in the written word. In fact, Paul says, I've been through some stuff and you've been through some stuff, but I want you to know there's comfort. There's comfort. The word comfort speaks of strength. So if you was writing that, it could be translated the strength of God. We know comfort, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is the comforter, the Bible says. That's a name for the Holy Spirit. He is our comforter. But he's our comforter. But again, it can also be translated. We could write it down and say he's our strengthener. He is the one who empowers us. He strengthens us in our weaknesses. He steps into the situations of our life, into the distresses of our life, into the tribulation and afflictions and sufferings, and he comforts, strengthens us to bring us through this adversity and these difficult days. Now, the things that the Apostle Paul himself faced and he refers to here, we're not sure exactly the incidents of what he may be referring to, but it's very possible that he's referring to Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, he's gone down to Ephesus from Corinth, and he spends some time there. And they have some good times in preaching the gospel there. They're seeing life change happening. In fact, they're seeing such powerful things happening down there that all the witchcraft and all that, I mean, they start dismantling that. People getting saved, giving their heart to Jesus. They burning up books that teach all kinds of evil things, and they're burning idols, and people that were in idol worship and who had been buying idols to put on their shelf and all those things, they're starting to get rid of their idols. They're no longer buying them. And then people are starting to rise up and say, Paul is taking away our livelihood because we've been selling these statues that people are worshiping. And then all of a sudden there's an uprising in the city and people start coming against the Apostle Paul and the evangelistic team that are there. And they even drag two of them off into an arena there to persecute them, and they would love for Paul to go. Those were a team around him, protected Paul. We don't need you to go there now. Finally, he agreed to that because he wanted to go right into the midst of that arena. He wasn't scared of nothing, it appears to be, because he knew God. He knew God. But it could be that it was in that place of Acts 19 that he's saying and he's going to be referring to in these here in this first chapter of 2 Corinthians. But what I want you to see is this, and there's just a few points that I want to pull from this. Afflictions, tribulation happens. Distresses come. And listen, there were physical things that he went to for the cause of Christ. We have to understand context here. He's talking about things that the afflictions that have come because of his stand for Jesus. He's not just talking about sickness that came. It could in our life, I believe God can speak to that. But we need to understand that here he's talking about suffering that has come for the name of Jesus Christ, for the cause of Jesus. But nevertheless, I think the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, even in the distresses, in the things of this life, whether it be physical, mental, social, financial, or what, there can be all kinds of things that attack the fabric of who we are as a believer. But at the same time, let's not confuse that with being persecuted for righteousness' sake. We need to know there's a difference. A headache is not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know what a headache is? A headache. Now, sometimes there's things that can happen. And so we understand that the enemy can attack and it might come in the form of a headache. But what I want us to understand, there's a difference between that and being persecuted for the name of Jesus. Because you said the name of Jesus and people come against you. Because you stood for the word of God and truth and people come against you. There's a difference. So we just got to keep that in mind. But I want to say that there's things in this life, there's challenges, there's things that's happened within marriages and family that have been hurtful, that have been tormenting at times, even physical things that happen. And ultimately, it is the enemy. Ultimately, it is that, because he would like to destroy us, and he wants to destroy marriages, he wants to destroy individual believers, all of that. And so I want us to say there's a word here for us in regards to those things as well, but I want us just to know the difference. And so the strengthener, the Holy Spirit, desires to help us in the midst of our distresses, in the midst of our marriage crisis, in the midst of the financial crisis, in the midst of the perhaps job crisis, the relationship crisis, all of these things. But ultimately, it's our stand for Jesus. And what we even see it in our world today, when we stand for Jesus, there's a whole world of wickedness that is out in the world just like they did with the Apostle Paul in the 19th chapter of Acts. They don't want any part of that. It affected, in their case, many of them, it affected the bottom dollar. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we see this happening. Okay. But in the midst of distress, we have a deliverer. In the midst of distress, we have a comforter. We have a strengthener. And so I want us just to grab hold of that today, and however this applies in this room in our life. You know what's happening. You know what's going on. You know what you've been dealing with, and God knows it too. But the same Holy Spirit that come to comfort the Apostle Paul in a situation as he's carrying the gospel, he also desires to come into our situations as well. We that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose, Paul said to the Romans, that he desires to work on our behalf and to bring good in the midst of a bad situation, to turn things around. He desires to do all of that. But what I want you to see, and I want to look at verse 5 just for a moment. Verse 5 here of 2 Corinthians. It says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." And what I want us to see is here that God uses our buffetings. He uses our poundings. When the enemy has come to buffet us, to pound us, to push us, to stomp on us, to pressure us, to bring stress upon us, to distress us. He is trying to convince us to give up in all of this. What can we gain from that? It hurts so bad. And what I want to tell you is there's lessons that we can learn in the midst of that. And we can be blessed in the midst of buffeting. We experience deliverance and comfort in the midst of our distresses. And here in verse 5, it says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, man, they're abounding, they're piling up, they're hard against us. But he's saying, but our comfort also abounds through Christ. You get that? Our comfort, our consolation, our deliverance is abounding in Christ. The blessings of God are abounding in Christ Jesus. So what we learn in this, in the midst of this, the stresses of life, we learn, number one, about how God works. We learn who He is. And we learn what He does when we're experiencing the distresses of life. And he consoles us, He comforts us. Thus, the word comfort being as strengthens us. He strengthens us in the midst of that. He doesn't just take all the stuff away. He doesn't just remove us from the situation. He doesn't send a helicopter always to get you out of it. His rescue is in the midst of the problem. His rescue for the people of God isn't just to get you out of that dangerous place, but it is to protect you in the midst of the dangerous place. But we certainly, God, please get me out of here. They say of the persecuted church around the world, when they're telling us that this is what's happening, we're being persecuted for Christ's sake here. They're killing Christians. But what the persecuted Christian is saying, according to missionaries, is don't airlift us out of the situation, but pray that God will strengthen us in the situation, because these people that are bringing these persecutions against us need Jesus, and we want to be the light of Jesus in this lost and dark world. So may we not just continually just want to be airlifted out, but God, strengthen me so I can stay in the midst of this and tell your story. Look at verse 4. Go back to verse 4. He said, who comforts us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So this is what I want you to hear now. The second lesson that we learn is that there are people who are watching us, and they're seeing how we respond to the distresses of life. And what he's saying is that we who have been comforted in Christ, we want the world to see that, and other believers to see that, and they'll see how we react in the midst of our distress, and how we are leaning upon God and not in our own resources, and they too can understand and see that God, who's comforting me, will comfort them also. You see there? They can see the example. I've been comforted by God in my distress. Now they see it in Paul. Now we're in distress and we go, God comforted Paul and strengthened Paul. Surely He's going to comfort and strengthen me. There's that second lesson. We go on down reading about the same thing. Verse 6, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation. Again, he's saying the same thing. And salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. He's saying, as God is doing this for us, the Apostle Paul is saying, He also will do it for you, for your salvation, for your comfort, for your strengthening. And so we want to make sure we're standing for Jesus in the midst of the distresses and troubles of life and tribulations of life. It's not only are we seeing what God will do, and we are understanding God more and more as a believer, we also are being an example for other believers and others who are coming to Christ. And so there it is. Go to verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake in the consolation. Just as you are going through these troublesome times, you're also going to experience the strength of God. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. You say, well, it hasn't been going my way. I've already got off to a bad start in 24. And there's things that seem to be coming against me, and we related it to 23, and we thought it was going to be out of that. Listen, the devil don't look at no calendar. Distresses don't consider a calendar. The enemy, he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he does with every person that lives in this world. He wants to destroy them, that they would never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. But also, what he desires to do for every believer is to ruin their life. He's at work. That's why we deal with spiritual warfare. That's why we have to stand in the armor of God as believers. We have to be willing to stand up and not sit down, not give up, but to stand. And when we've done everything to stand, Paul said to the Ephesian church, keep on standing. Keep on standing. Look at verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. Again, possibly Acts 19. That's just a part of the story. That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Think about that. He thought, well, hey, man, we may die here. You saying the Apostle Paul had them kind of thoughts? He's telling you what he had. He said, I thought we was going to go under. This work that we was doing, I mean, we were despaired even of life. Go to verse 9. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And here's the third thing that I want you to learn from this today, and the Spirit of the Lord wants us to learn. We can't trust in ourselves. We're not to lean on our own strength. If we're leaning on our own strength, we're going to succumb to all this stress and distress and tribulation and affliction. We'll succumb. We'll give up under it. You see, he said, we were nearly despairing. It was like we were going to come to the end of ourselves and possibly even die over there, and the ministry we had was going to come to an end. But he said, all this was so that we would not trust in ourselves. See, a lot of times, the stuff that comes against us, I ain't saying sometimes, I'm telling you every time as a believer, when things come against us, he wants to prove in us and mature us not to depend on ourselves. Paul said we didn't have anything else. Our resources were depleted, but God's were enough. God's were enough. And so he said, we got to trust in Him, God, who raises the dead, who can do anything. God can do anything, anything but fail. With Him by my side, Satan cannot prevail. And when the dark clouds hang low, He'll keep me, I know. Tell me, why should I fear? God can do anything. He can do anything. Nothing is too hard for Him. In fact, nothing's too big for my God. No, 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 nothing is too big for my God. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be distressed. Nothing's too big for God, and I'm in His rest. because I can't rely on my own resources. If I'm relying on my own resources, I'm finished in the midst of distress. But when I rely on the resources of God, the one who raises the dead, the one in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning, who changes not, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, he who is all powerful, he who put the who created the heavens and the earth with his great power, when I'm resting in his resources, I can make it and will make it by the grace of God. No matter what is going on, who delivered us from so great a death, who does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. He's delivered us then. He's delivering us now. And we're going to trust him to deliver us in the days ahead. Verse 11, you also helping together in prayer. And here it is. I want to tell you, you don't have to do this stuff alone. Look at it. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. We've been planted within the context of this church. We don't have to do life alone. God has put us in the body of Christ, and he's not meant for you to be a lone ranger Christian. He's meant for you to be in a situation where you can have people praying for you, bearing your burdens, loving you, lifting you up, helping you along life's journey. And we get to pray one for another. And even as we're going through 21 days of prayer, maybe reminded even this morning that there are those, we're not alone. Paul recognized that he wasn't alone. It not only was God there to deliver him, he had a team of believers around him. He had a family around him who were followers of Jesus as well. I want you to know today that he delivers us from distress. And you can trust him and learn of him today.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only he can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.